Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to the How We Scaled show. My name is Jeff Brandeis, president and founder of CEO of Brandeis Coaching and Brandeis Training Solutions. Each of our episodes will feature a CEO, VP of sales, or an entrepreneur that has scaled their business to six, seven, even eight figures. And on the show, we will ask questions to them about what they did that scaled their business, that grew their revenues, that made them what they are today. So you're ready to listen and learn? Stay tuned. One, two, and three. Here we go. Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is Jeff Brandeis. I am so pleased to have on our podcast today Ellen McKinney, who's a proud author, speaker, podcaster, and is going to teach us a little bit more about how to help save our money, right? And how we can do best with our businesses. So, Ellen, welcome to the podcast. Can you share with the audience a little bit about what you do at a high level? And so we can kind of get some insight overall.
Sure thing. Thank you, first of all, for having me on today. And so I'm a fractional CFO. I own a company called CFO Plus Services. I spent 18 years as the CFO of a mid-sized independently owned company. And during that time, I learned a lot about we did a lot of our growth through acquisition. So I learned a lot about that whole process. I did all the due diligence and kind of helped identify companies to purchase. And what I found was that many, many business owners don't know how to prepare their companies to exit. And so there's a lot of money left on the table. They don't build value before they do the exit. And what happens is, you know, they are expecting to be able to retire on what they get from the exit. And many times it doesn't happen. So what I did about almost 5 years ago was decide to go out on my own and start working with small business owners to help them build value before they exit. And so beyond that, as a fractional CFO, I help with budgeting, I help with cash flow. And I just added a service to my business where I've brought on another person who does who's QuickBooks certified, and so we also do bookkeeping services. So I'm trying to scale this to something a little bigger than just me. I'm trying to build value so one day I can sell my business. Sure. And about almost a year ago, I was approached about doing a radio show for an international internet radio. It's geared strictly towards small businesses. And so I have a radio show I do once a week, which is turned into a podcast, but it's the whole idea is to talk about exit strategies for small business owners.
That's great. So for the people who are listeners who don't really understand what a fractional CFO, can you help explain what you mean and what you do for as a fractional CFO?
Sure.
A new term.
So, you know, when you get to a certain size, a lot of companies will hire a CFO, and that's a finance person who is more visionary. They look forward, whereas your controller or your accounting manager look back at your numbers. And so many companies really just can't afford a CFO. So I work for many small companies who part-time. And so people are basically hiring a part-time CFO when they hire me.
Gotcha. So when you look at the companies that you're serving and you work with, what you see is, you know, one of the biggest things that they waste their time, or maybe more so what their money on, that they shouldn't be spending their money on.
I think a lot of times there's a lot of times when they will spend a lot of money on untargeted advertising. I've seen that a whole lot. I feel like if they throw money out there, they're going to get a return. And one of the things that I've learned from some of the people that I kind of network with who are experts in the field. They say it, you're these days, because it's so easy to advertise on social media, but it's getting more expensive to really focus that to your target market. So look for your target market. And other things that they spend money on that is probably not necessary in this day and age is you can be a lot more frugal when it comes to paying money for rent. And I recommend many small business owners go ahead and buy a building and move into it. So if they have to pay rent, they're paying themselves. So those kind of strategies to build wealth, because one of the things I have found is business owners need to build wealth outside of the business as well in order to be a little bit more secure when they do come to that exit and something goes wrong and they don't get what they hoped they would get for the business. They still have built some value outside of the business.
Yeah, it's kind of like people rent, you know, for the homes. At some point, you want to be able to put that money you're paying for rent into a house or something that you could
exactly.
Do
with the company. So, yeah, same. It's the same idea. Yes.
Yeah. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Very cool. When you think about your industry as a whole, just kind of curious, is there something you think from most of the other folks talk about that's really more outdated in today's world and that you bring a different perspective on?
So about up until about a little over a year ago, when I started this venture into fractional CFO, I started with a large, a national partnership of fractional CFOs. And what I found was that there was the space that a lot of people were getting into for businesses from say $10 million to $30 million in revenue. But there really wasn't anything good for businesses smaller than that. And so what I did is I left the partnership in February of 2020, which was right before the pandemic hit. It was a great time to start a business. But it actually was a good time because so many people needed what I do even more. And so I targeted my business towards those companies that are, you know, less than 10 million, even micro businesses. So they might hire me for a couple hours a month. So I have many more clients, but I'm able to serve more people.
That's great. I think in today's world, where especially as we're coming out of what we've just gone through, you got to see more and more people starting more businesses, if you would. And even, you know, when business began to shrink and there were people who were laid off, they also started to start their own business and they don't really know much, candidly, about how to manage their own money and how to, you know, let alone manage a business. So being able to target mm-hmm. yourself to a smaller niche as they begin to grow and expand their businesses, that's really great. Is there something that really bugs you, so to speak, about, you know, your industry that kind of go, God, I wish they would stop doing this?
I don't know. It's I have a real camaraderie with other people who are getting into this business on their own. In fact, there's so many people out there who need what we do. We actually have started trying to do some collaboration amongst myself and other companies who do exactly what I do. So there's really not any kind of competition because we work so well together. And I think it's because it's so new, especially targeting towards the smaller businesses. So I don't really think that there's anything that bugs me. It does. It did kind of annoy me when I was with the large CFO company that they really kind of discouraged working with the smaller businesses. And I've found that they need us more than the you know, mid-sized business, which I love working with. I have some clients who fall in that area and I would never give them up, but you know, I didn't want to be pigeonholed into that area.
So we all talk about when we're running our businesses, how we differentiate each other, ourselves from the competition or from your other people who you're who are other fractional CFOs. Is there a couple of things that you would like to share with the listeners that kind of make you different that you like to talk about?
Well, sure. The first thing is 3 years ago, I published my first book, and instead of just doing a straight business book, I wrote a novel and a business novel because I love some of the writers like Patrick Lencioni, who have great messages, but they do it in the form of a novel, which makes it a lot easier to read, quite frankly. And so I thought I would, you know, sort of steal his idea and write a novel. And it was a lot of fun to write, but I feel like it has a lot of good messages. And it's all from things that I've seen or things that, you know, people I've interviewed have seen, because I'm currently writing another book that's more of a business tips book. And so I've interviewed many, many different people on what they've seen in businesses and how they feel like they can help people improve. And so that is one differentiator. And I think just the fact that I'm doing this radio show and podcast and getting my message out in that way kind of differentiates me. You don't see too many people doing that.
Very cool. Please share with the audience the name of your book and where they can find it. So we'll give you a little opportunity here for that.
Okay, I appreciate that. Yeah. So I'm going to make it easy for you, because the name of the book is The Big Turnaround, and it has its own website, and it's at www.thebigturnaround.com, and you can get all the information about the book. I have a book trailer out there, and then a link if you feel like you might want to buy the book. So,
what have you done from your own perspective to kind of grow your company to where it is today? And you talked about what you're looking to do for the future. But if you were to, you know, if you're the new entrepreneur starting out, share with us some of the things that you've done that helped you scale.
I think the biggest thing I did was so about this time last year, you know, a little earlier, I joined a group of women business owners. It was like a networking group. Actually, my business coach kind of runs the group. And we started meeting on a regular basis because we were all kind of scared about what was happening. And that connection with other women business owners really helped me stay focused, helped me come up with ideas on how to change my business, how to grow my business. And you know, they kept me going for sure. I don't know how I would have survived without that. But then last summer, I started having a mind shift, because I always thought of myself as a solopreneur. And then when the opportunity to bring this other person into my company to do a whole different thing, I started thinking of my company as a company. And in the second half of last year, I doubled my sales. And this year, I think I'll probably be double over what 2020 was, just because of that mind shift from, you know, I can scale this thing if I get help. And solopreneurs aren't good at getting help from people, but I was, I sort of tried to get past that and get help from other people, and it's really helped me.
That's fantastic. I always love to hear growth stories. It's always fascinating to hear how mm-hmm. people have evolved and changed and grown. When you look at the 5 years ago to where you are today, and we'll hit on this kind of two things. One is networking is definitely more prevalent today than it was, you know, even it's easier today. And I'd like to share some of the things you do from a networking perspective, but I also like to understand how has technology changed your business and how you approach work with your clients?
Oh, well, that's such a great question. Well, first of all, 5 years ago when I first started, going with the large company was really good for me because I had no clue how to sell. I had an aversion to salespeople because they were always calling me. And so, yeah, sorry about that. But I learned, you know, some really good techniques on how to sell. I learned how to network. I forced myself to go to networking meetings, which I'd never done before. So and it has evolved quite a bit. I mean, it used to be I'd find every BNI meeting I could find and go and just meet people. I mean, I met so many people that first year. And by the end of the year, I actually had come to like it. And so then you fast forward to the pandemic. At the point when things started to shut down, I was on the road quite a bit because I have clients all over the state of Virginia. So I was driving to see those clients, you know, sometimes three times a month. I might be driving 2 hours away to visit a client. And then, so I was spending a lot of time on the road, which wasn't terribly productive. Now, I listened to a lot of audiobooks during that time. And so I think I've read more books since I started my business than I had in the whole previous 20 years. But right. But it wasn't productive in terms of my business. I wasn't building my business. So really, when you know, Zoom became better, when I learned how to do meetings over the internet, I think I'm much more productive. I know I'm much more productive. I wouldn't have been able to scale the way I have. And I think it's easier for my clients because it's easier to schedule them. I can schedule people one after another. I don't have to build in that drive time or anything like that. So I think it's kind of been a win-win. Now, I still like to get in front of my clients. I like that, you know, that face-to-face, but I don't have to do it quite as often.
Zoom is definitely obviously, and you know, we got here a little quicker because of the pandemic than we might have been without the pandemic, because it's, you know, a lot of companies talk about its spread of technology, the way we do business, almost 3 to 5 years because of us being more confined, and companies had to find ways to reach out to other people. And this was really the best, you know, mechanism from the family. We probably would not be speaking today if it wasn't, you know, obviously through Zoom or and through this podcast world that we're all in from a communication perspective. So it definitely has, yes, pandemic wasn't good for lots of reasons, but it also has helped businesses transform themselves significantly.
Oh, it certainly has. Yeah.
So if someone was just starting out in to become a fractional CFO, what kind of advice would you actually provide to somebody getting new in the business?
Well, I mean, typically the people who come into this business have been a CFO at a company, may or may not have done much networking, but the first thing I would get out there and just start meeting as many people as you can, build your network. I get most of my referrals from the network I've built over the last 5 years. And it really is that inner group of referral network brings me 80% of my business. And so, you know, you still have to meet all those other people, but you do sort start to form a really close network. So that's what I would recommend. Build that network. I would recommend reaching out to other fractional CFOs to just because, like I said, there's enough business for everyone, and we are a group of people who are very open to helping out, helping somebody get started. I am. You can call me anytime if you're thinking about doing that, because I'd be happy to talk to you and happy to give you some tips on how to get into the business. But it's just making yourself known. You know, maybe reach out to some small business owners that you could start working with before making the leap, you know, because I think everybody can use at least a little bit of help from a financial standpoint. Many small business owners don't even know how to read their financial statements. So if you start there, that's a great help.
Yeah, that's very true. A lot of people, upon expression, avoided accounting in high school or college because it just they weren't good in numbers. So they really need somebody like yourself to help oversee. And you know, sometimes it's the scariest part of the owner is, oh, I got to do my tax return now. I know my books and my financials are not in great shape. And then all of a sudden panic happens, right?
That's right. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten calls from people who they're applying for a loan and they're like, can you come and look at my financials to see if it's they're in order enough to give to the bank? And a lot of times that opens a whole can of worms and we have to work on things before they can apply for their loan or line of credit.
Sure, understood. So what kind of things do you like to do when you're not working?
Oh, wow. Well, if you ask my husband, he'd say I work all the time, but now that I work out of my house. But no, actually, I have my whole family are, we are Virginia Tech graduates, my husband and my two sons. And so we are big Hokie fans and we have season tickets to Virginia Tech football games. We love to, you know, watch any kind of Virginia Tech sports. I'm also an avid golfer. I love to play golf. And so I try to spend as much time as that. But and I also have an adult son who has special needs. And so we just try to spend as much time with him as, you know, getting him out in the community and, you know, keeping him involved in things. So yeah, we stay busy.
That's great. Hopefully with the warmer weather now, you'll be getting out a little bit more often, right?
Yeah, I hope so.
Very good. So Ellen, if people wanted to find you, how could they find you?
Okay, so my email address is ellen@cfoplusservices.com. And then you could also just go to my website, cfoplusservices.com. And there is a place where you can schedule a 15-minute or 30-minute consult, which is free. And what I will do is, you know, take a look at your financials and let you know what I think about them.
Hopefully the financials are in good order at that point. Yeah. Otherwise, that's a different conversation, right?
That is, yes.
Very cool. Ellen, thank you so much for joining me today. I enjoyed our conversation. It's always great to learn more about the other businesses. Fractional CFO is one that I grew up as an accountant, to be candid with you, mm-hmm. back in my early days. So mm-hmm. I have some background in accounting, but these days I try to stay away from that type of work. So having to know somebody like you would be great. So last words you'd like to share with our audience at this point?
No, Jeff, I just really appreciate you having me on today. I always love talking about because I really love what I do. So, you know, I could talk about it all afternoon, but I'm sure that would bore everybody. So.
Actually, what you do is so important in today's world, and enjoying what you do is even more important. So, again, thank you for being here. I enjoyed our mm-hmm. conversation and look forward to speaking with you soon again.
Yeah. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you so much for joining. I truly hope everyone enjoyed the podcast here and our special guest. I know each of you are really excited to possibly even be a guest on our podcast. So feel free to fill out the application form that's below. We'll follow back up with you, be in touch with you, and it'd be great to have you. In addition, I know I'll be reaching out to you to see how we might be able to even do some business and have a conversation about working together. Again, thank you so much for joining our podcast. And if you do know of someone else that actually would like to be on the podcast, feel free to recommend him or her to also fill out the application below. Again, thank you so much for joining. Have a great day and see you next week on How We Scale.